Hey there, animal lovers. Real quick, before we get started, I wanted to tell you about TrueNutrition.com. True Nutrition is an amazing health and wellness site specializing in fitness supplements such as protein, BCAAs, and more. You can find pre-made formulas for a variety of diets, including plant-based, and you can also create your own custom blend of protein or oatmeal with amazing flavors such as cookies and cream, lemon cake, or my favorite, chocolate peanut butter cup. I use them for my vegan protein shakes because True Nutrition makes it quick and easy to design a custom mix. You can also boost your custom protein with electrolytes, turmeric, and a variety of other additives. All for a great price. And right now, you can get 5% off your first order with the code AMAZINGANIMALS. Once again, use the code AMAZINGANIMALS, all one word, for 5% off your first order. Do it. Get jacked, get lean, get fit, whatever your body goals are, let True Nutrition be your training buddy. Well, hello, and welcome to the only podcast that tells true crime and true adventure stories where animals are the heroes. My name is Rich, and just a fun little tidbit since this is our very first episode, I hate social media. I hate it with a passion, and I'm really not good at it, so if you could please rate this podcast 5 stars, subscribe, and share it with your friends so that I don't have to start pandering on Instagram and Twitter, that would be amazing. Again, I'm Rich, I hate social media, but I love animals, and tonight, we're talking sharks. That's right, one of the most misunderstood animals on the planet, and a species that, I kid you not, is older than trees. Yes, trees, it's true. Look it up. Sharks are amazing. So, without further ado, let's get into our very first story. May 27th, 2012, 41-year-old Towakai Titoe flew from his home on the island of Maina to Kiribati, part of a Micronesian island nation roughly 2,500 miles southwest of Hawaii. Towakai was visiting Kiribati to be sworn in as a police officer, a position he'd worked hard to secure and was beyond excited to begin. So excited, in fact, that while others went out after the swearing-in ceremony, Towakai stayed back, stayed in, and watched a documentary about 4 men from Kiribati who had become lost at sea. They were alone, in the ocean, waves lapping at their disappearing vessel, and 2 out of 4 of them succumbed to their condition. The remaining 2 survived the 6-week ordeal and washed ashore in American Samoa. At the time, Tokoi didn't think much of this movie. In fact, the next day, the man opted to join his brother-in-law, Ailu Faleil, 52, to enjoy a leisurely boat ride back to his home island rather than flying. The ocean was calm, the wind was gentle, and both men were experienced on the water, so why not? Halfway through their 2-hour journey, the men spotted a small school of fish swimming beneath them. Avid fishermen, they decided to stop, catch some, and have a bounty to return home with. Unfortunately, their adventure captured their attention for far too long. Their boat ran out of gas, the men ran out of water, and both realized simultaneously that they had been following the school of fish and that the school had led them far from where they had departed and their destination. They could see the island, but it was getting dark and they were worried they wouldn't have the gas to make it back before the sun completely disappeared and the night took hold. Luckily, the current seemed to be pushing them toward home, so they killed their engine and allowed the drift to carry them, assuming they'd make any necessary efforts in the morning and would be home in time for breakfast. They fell asleep, and when they awoke with a gentle nudging of the sun's rays upon their skin, they found that the current had changed direction and their home island was no longer in sight. A gentle panic took hold, both men trying to figure out what to do, barely any gas, mere drops of water, plenty of fish but coated in salt water. The sun would only get hotter as the day wore on, and the men would only grow thirstier. Without any islands in sight, a looming sense of death was their third companion on their small wooden craft. It was then that Ailu spotted a fishing boat some distance away. Both men shouted, screaming as loudly as they could, using the last drops of gasoline to push the engine hard in hopes of getting close enough to be heard, to be rescued. But when the last chugs of their engine died, and their desperate wails refused to carry the fishing boat ahead, the men realized their truth. They were drifting, lost, directionless, and at the mercy of the ocean. They forced themselves to eat fish, to try and keep their strength up. The salt zapped their energy, dehydrated them, and made their fishing bounty a cruel tease when they were no longer able to consume any. "Surely it will rain," Tawakai suggested with fleeting hope. But it didn't. For 5 weeks, it didn't rain a drop. At this point, Ailu was quite weak, severely dehydrated and losing faith. Tawakai, a Catholic, prayed over his brother-in-law. In the morning, afternoon, and evening, prayer after prayer, but nothing was helping. Soon, Ailu's health began to wane. He vomited often, but there was nothing in his stomach to throw up. And by July 3rd, the man was curled up over his boat, staring at the waters crashing against the wood and moaning continuously. The next day, Tawakai awoke to find Ailu dead. He kept him in the boat for a day, provided the best funeral he could, and buried him at sea the following morning. Tawakai was alone now, somewhere in the Pacific Ocean, without direction, without fresh water, without hope. But then, rained. After 5 weeks of nothing but vicious sunlight, a storm blew in and poured enough rain that Tawakai could gather 2 gallons of fresh water. He caught more fish, ate, drank the water, and gained some of his weight back. But the man was well aware that he may be simply extending the same fate that his brother-in-law met, that he may be staving off the inevitable. Eventually, he would run out of water again, and whether it was the dehydration or the exposure that did it, death rode beside the lone man, waiting. It was September 11th, 105 days since he'd pushed off from the sandy shores of Kiribati, when Tawakai saw a vessel in the distance. He wasn't sure if it was real or a mirage, but it was so far away that it hardly mattered. They weren't going to see him, and his voice, now little more than a hoarse whisper, wasn't going to carry across the vast ocean to their ears. There was no sense in hoping at all. So the man ate his rations for the morning, drank the last of his fresh water, and curled up at the bow of his brother-in-law's boat under a small piece of fabric that provided partial protection from the violent sun. He was giving up. He was done. He had accepted his fate. One last prayer was said and he drifted off, the gentle rocking of the sea lulling him to sleep. It was the afternoon when he awoke, exposed skin further reddened and blistered by the sun. He heard a heavy scratching at the hull of his boat, over and over. More than waves lapping, something was hitting the tiny 15-footer, slamming against it with haste. Tawakai's shaking hand gripped the wood siding and used what strength he had left to heave himself up and look over the side of his raft. What he saw shocked him. A shark, no less than 6 feet in length, circling the boat, slamming into the hull on each pass. On the last circle, the massive animal's eye caught Tawakai's. Their stares locked, each acknowledging the other. That was when the shark swam from the boat, staying near to the surface to carry Tawakai's gaze to the large vessel he had seen earlier, now closer, with binoculars searching for signs of life. The signer ship, named Marshall's 203, spotted the man and quickly made their way to rescue him. From there, he was taken to the port of Majuro and given medical attention before returning to his wife and 6 kids, all of whom had assumed he died. A fate, Tawakai noted, that would surely have found him had it not been for that shark waking him up and pointing him towards the Marshall's 203. So why this story? A podcast about animals should have more animals than humans, right? Well, we'll have those stories too, where we follow a single animal, a herd, or a pack and leave our species behind. But in starting with sharks, this seemed like too good of a tale to pass up. Always portrayed as the villain, sharks can be incredibly kind, patient, and heroic. This particular shark had likely spotted this man before, perhaps days or weeks before, and checked on him frequently. When a larger ship was near enough, it made the effort to connect the two so that Tawakai could be saved. I mentioned at the top that sharks were older than trees, and that is indeed true. The earliest species of trees lived around 350 million years ago. Sharks, however, have been around for between 400 and 450 million years. Let that sink in for a second. That means they've outlived 4 global mass extinctions. 4. Which becomes even more amazing and beyond heartbreaking when you realize that we as humans are killing them at such an alarming rate that soon there might not be any sharks at all. In fact, some species of sharks, such as the hammerhead and the bull shark, have declined in population by as much as 99% since the 1980s. What Mother Nature couldn't do in hundreds of millions of years, we've accomplished in just a few decades. Not an achievement to be proud of. Sharks play an important role in our ecosystem, and their decline is already having traumatic effects on our oceans. See, when sharks die, we lose the balance they keep in the world beneath the waves. Sharks actually help with ocean spatial control, and their feeding habits indirectly maintain seagrass and coral habitats. Yes, the same coral habitats that you love to see in photographs and that are also quickly disappearing. But that's for another show. By supporting this podcast on anchor.fm/amazinganimals, you're contributing to the salvation of land animals, marine animals, and the environment. 10% of profits from monthly contributions go directly to the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, where they are actively working to build a better world. Remember, we are all connected, and this world was theirs long before it was ours. Don't forget to rate us 5 stars, subscribe, and share with your friends. We'd love to read your comments and suggestions for future episodes, and we sincerely hope to see you again in the next episode of Amazing Animals.